This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horowitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Hope you all having a great day. Comments are always welcome. Send an email. And, you know, we always work those in as quickly as possible. Questions, thoughts, suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And joining me here in studio to talk, yeah, we got a long list here. Lori Matthews, who is a candidate for the Flagstaff City Council. How you doing, Lori?
Good. How are you?
Got your shirt on and everything.
Yes, I got my campaign shirt
on. I never did
on.
The shirt. That's good. Sight.
Walking billboard.
Did you bring me any bling? Did you bring a hat? You see, we got hats lined up and stuff like that.
I don't. No. I have a sticker and you can have a shirt.
I can have a shirt.
If you'll wear it.
Yeah, I'll take it. Will I wear it? I'll probably wear it. I don't know. Do I have to wear it like out or is it for work?
In public.
I'd wear your shirt in public, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's do it. But the city council election coming up here during the general, so you're on page 83 of the ballot. That's kind of the downside of the local elections, especially city council. You're like
back
almost
page.
Last, or are you last?
I think we're going to be last.
Yeah, we don't have a dog catcher. That would be last, right?
But or maybe before us.
They should flip the ballot because everybody's going to flip over for Senate or on a presidential year. We should just flip it and do local elections because that matters actually more than who you send to D.C. You think D.C. matters, but local rules your life.
The local elections and the local leadership is that's the grassroots. That's where it all starts. And if we don't have good representation at the local level, nothing else really matters.
Do we have good representation at the local level? Oh, you might have to work with these people.
I know.
But obviously, right? You're running, so you want to change some things.
Right.
See, Flagstaff has gone. It has definitely gotten to a point where I say this a lot, Lori. If you move to San Francisco, you wouldn't expect to make huge changes. Mm-hmm. Do you go into this kind of worried about that? Because Flagstaff's changed a lot, and it's a very left-leaning council, degrees of leftism in there. That's just being honest of how it is right now.
That is true.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know how much direct change I can make other than bringing real awareness to what is going on, what happens at the council level. I talk to so many people when I'm out campaigning or just socializing, and so many people, when I bring something up, they look at me like they have no idea that this got passed or this is going to happen. And so I feel like regardless if my vote counts, depending on the makeup of council after November, just bringing awareness and trying to get more people involved and more transparency. And I know the city tries that. I know they put out a lot of stuff on social media, but it just seems to fall on deaf ears. So I'm hoping to make some changes in that area because there's a lot of stuff that's going on that people then wake up one day and say, how did this happen?
Yeah. Right? Where'd that building come from?
Exactly.
Or happened with downtown parking. I was on there, served a term on the city council, and that came up with the meters, and there was meeting after meeting. Mm-hmm. And really nobody came except for the people that wanted the dang meters. Right. And then all of a sudden, after they start going in, people are like, where'd these come from? And it's just,
exactly.
People just don't pay attention.
And sadly, there's a small group of 100 people, maybe at that are the squeaky wheel.
Yep.
And everything is decided based on their opinions, and they're not representing the mass community that we have here.
Yeah, that's too bad. Okay, let's get into the election a little bit later. Let's get into housing, though. Let's start there. But real quick, I actually have a sponsor who's in housing, so I want to mention Kelly Broaddus, who's with Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. She can help you if you're looking at buying a home or if you're you want to get out. I was talking with Representative Steve Kaiser about this recently, and he's going around the state trying to figure out why are housing prices so high. We had a pretty in-depth conversation on that one. Maybe some people are just going to like sell out and leave and go to Iowa or something like that. Anyway, if you want to do that, Kelly Broaddus can help you out. Or if you're trying to get into this really tough market, she can help you out there as well. Give Kelly a call, 928-606-6749. That's 928-606-6749. Or you can go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. You get an instant market report. You can do comparables and all that stuff as well. Kelly Broaddus, 928-606-6749. Here with Lori Matthews, who's running. She's an official candidate on the ballot because there's three spots open. There's only two of you that made the ballot.
Three and a half. So four. There is one spot that will be for 2 year term. Oh, okay.
I was like, it's a half work. Right. That's like when you have 2.2 kids or, you know, stuff like that. Okay. Right. So there's a half term coming up. Okay. Well, let's talk about housing. You've been involved with housing. You've been involved with homeless issues as well.
Correct. I have a nonprofit that helps homeless working poor. So people that have jobs that can't afford housing up here. So I've been very involved and very focused on the lack of affordable housing here in Flagstaff.
How bad is it?
It's bad. I had last month at my nonprofit, I had five households move out and they moved out of state. Mm. They saved the money. They had over $7,000 saved, which was a great accomplishment for move-in cost and move-out cost. But
oh, that's great. Yeah.
There was nothing that they could find here. And we are excited. We're doing a tour with Habitat for Humanity this month to tour one of their starter homes and talk about their program. And I think that's a great addition to Flagstaff. That's going to help. It's not going to really make a big difference in our affordable housing. I mean, you know, we have to face to some degree that Beverly Hills, Boulder, Colorado, there's just some cities because of their makeup. We're a tourist town. We're a university town. It's going to be hard to compare us to other cities that have a lot of affordable housing. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. We have a lot of conflicting, competing values on city council right now. They're pushing for carbon neutrality issues, all electric. They're pushing the developers to build so many of their houses to be retrofitted to go all electric, which adds the price tag to the new build by $50,000 to $70,000. And yet they want to have affordable housing. So that doesn't make sense. I'd like to, one of the things that I'm focused on is seeing if I can get approved to bring in a outside consultant to view our fees and permit pricing, because I've been told that they're pretty high. And if you read the carbon neutrality plan that the city passed through council last year, one of their ways that they're going to raise the $200 million that this plan will require is to raise the fees more. And so you're getting away further away from affordability if the cost to build or rehab a house is getting so astronomical that, you know, that the builder, the developer has to pass that expense on to the buyer. So,
yeah. And they add these costs and they have to recognize, they don't have to. You think they'd recognize that gets passed on. I know that some of them actually believe that the developer will pay for it. It just gets passed on. And I don't know if they don't get that or they don't care.
Well, it's just like water meters for a new build. Oh, I understand they're $10,000.
$10,000 at least. Yeah.
So they want people that are buying a new home to take the burden of that cost for our water infrastructure instead of, you know, like stop raising it, stop charging $10,000 per new home.
They'll say, oh, we need it for the new infrastructure that's going to take up. But then the counter argument's always been to that, Lori, is they're going to bring in new economic activity, you know, and be in the community. But are we at that point, though, where you have those folks that saved up money and they were truly trying to find a place that they probably, like most of us, they love it here and you want to stay. But if I was advising someone who's really just starting off, unless you're going to be in the trades where you're building homes, you're kind of in that market and you want to grind out that existence here. Let's go back to the 70s, Donald Trump in New York City, in Manhattan. Well, that's not an easy market to get into for anybody, or it could be anybody, somebody who came in and moved to, think Wall Street. They moved into New York, right? And they're grinding out, trying to make a living in one of the hardest places to do it. My advice for people at this point would be, you better look real hard at, is it worth it?
Correct.
Is it worth it? Because are you going to be 20 years down the road and working three jobs and still renting a place? And, and are we at that point where you've got to say, like what you just said, there's a lot of places where it just is really expensive, and that's what it is.
Right. And I think that also you can see that in our vacancy rate with our police department.
Yeah.
Unless they have family connections here, we're not paying, the city is not paying their employees, and especially the law enforcement, a living wage to be able to afford to stay here. So why would they, when they can go to DPS or somewhere else and get paid more, and they don't have any you know, family ties here, so they leave. I started a social media campaign for my campaign a couple of weeks ago, and I'm surprised at the number of professionals that will respond back to me saying, oh, so sorry, I've left Flagstaff because I can't afford it, and now I'm down in Phoenix or somewhere.
I know a lot of business owners that have the same problem, just trying to attract someone. And they may actually, sometimes I got to get someone from out of state for a specialty or something, and they get here, and they're here for a little while, and they're like, I can't find housing, I'm leaving.
Right.
It happens all the time.
Right, exactly.
What do we do with that? I mean, where's the workforce come from? Okay, I've got three kids. Where do my kids go to? Are we at the point where, and I've suggested this out there towards like Twin Arrows, all the land out there are Winslow surrounding communities. You can't go to Williams anymore. That's gotten super expensive. Mm-hmm. Sedona's outrageous. Even Camp Verde, it's like $300,000-$400,000 for homes now, but people are actually commuting from there. Mm-hmm. Rimrock, Camp Verde, Winslow.
That's the new hotspot in that area.
Oh, okay. Where do people just accept that if I want to live and work in Flagstaff, I'm going to commute an hour?
Well, and that brings up one of my other components about our affordable housing. I've heard, you know, several people that are from the city talking about developing workforce development and giving people trade skills, which is great, but they're leaving because there's no place for them to go to work. Yeah. And that also ties into one of the bonds that are going to be on the ballot this November about housing. I was really disappointed to see that they're putting more money into the first-time home buyer program. Not that I'm against it, but right now an average home costs $700,000 and the average salary is $65,000.
That doesn't
jive. $65,000 salary is going to get you maybe $300, $325 mortgage. So is the city really going to subsidize the difference for the down payment? Because you still have to go to conventional lending to get a mortgage. Yeah. So to put that money towards something that is so unobtainable right now and unrealistic is foolish. I think we should be putting more attention on bringing in more industry so we can have competitive salaries from every skill set, from, you know, blue collar, entry level jobs to the professionals, and have competition between employers for good employees. And that's going to help raise our average salaries that we have here. Because until we do that, we're not at $65,000 average income here in Flagstaff is not going to ever solve the affordable housing, because our houses will always be expensive.
Yeah, you're not buying. Yeah, even if it comes down, and it started to come, starting to come down. And I should add that, I mean, we first met, you were in on the mortgage side. That's your background.
Commercial lending.
Yeah, exactly. So you know this stuff, you've seen this stuff. Things will come down, but even when things come down, it's still expensive.
Down to $500,000. Yeah, it's not going to come down unless you start bringing in more industry. And that's where, you know, we have to have good relationships with our state legislators, because there's a lot of things that happen at the state legislative level that affect us up here. And I think that I haven't seen a good partnership between the city of Flagstaff and our state representatives lately to really work with them to say, hey, what, you know, how can we partner to bring in and attract more industry into Flagstaff. And we need to do that. I don't care if you like our representatives or not. You have to work with them.
That's the thing I never understood. And you know several of them at the legislature. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them. And I'll tell you what they'll tell you off the record behind the scenes is, they just don't even touch Flagstaff. They don't deal with it. Then they don't need to. Yeah. You know, so it hasn't been good from the relationship side, because so much comes out of the legislature that impacts the cities. But you need that work. It's insane not to try to have that working relationship. And just because most likely the governorship, the attorney general, the legislature for sure is in Republican hands, and by and large the Flagstaff City Council is Democrat and left leaning. Mm-hmm. You gotta try to have some kind of relationship, and there's no effort.
To have a relationship, absolutely, because you're doing the city a disservice if you're not having a relationship with the state level representatives. Because again, so much is decided, so much. Things are changed and affected in the city level from the state. And so you have to do that.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about One more thing on housing before we move on to a litany of other topics. Lori Matthews is my guest running for Flagstaff City Council. I want to get into vacation housing in just a second. Something you may need, this is like all my sponsors are housing related for some. I did not stack the deck here. If you need new blinds for your house, if you want to shut out all the politics going on around the world and all the signs that are about to go up and all the mailers and all that, you might want new blinds and you should call my friends at the Blind Brothers. I did that. They came in and measured and did an excellent job, gave me an excellent price. They're going to come back and install it. It was kind of cheesy, Lori. I actually mentioned the Jeff Horvitz show because you get half off installation. So it's like, hey, I heard about it on the show. Yeah, so you get half off installation if you mention that you heard about it right here on the show. They got monthly specials, by the way, on their website, theblindbrothers.com. Call for a free estimate right now, 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. And we're talking with Lori Matthews, running for Flagstaff City Council Vacation Rentals, VRBOs, Airbnb, whatever app people are using. It's been a huge issue. Again, Representative Steve Kaiser, who was on recently, who is part of this housing committee that's going around the state to try to identify what's causing the prices to go up. Is it regulatory? Is it this or that? That was one of them that was on the list, which is the number, like Sedona, for example, there's huge numbers of VRBOs. Flagstaff now has a huge number of VRBOs. Your thoughts on that? A lot of my listeners call in and they're like, we got to regulate this more heavily. We got to limit it. But then I have a lot of listeners who have VRBOs and they're like, hey, or they're home. They go on vacation for a month or a week or a day, however long you can go on vacation nowadays, and they like to rent it out. Should it be more heavily regulated? Is there something there for the city? Talk about that.
Well, currently it's all from the state. And so the city doesn't have the legal authority to do any regulation, but let's say they change that. I have two VRBOs on our development, and it's a five-year-old new housing development, and we don't have any problem with them. And I know a lot of people that make a living servicing the VRBOs, whether it's housekeeping or landscaping. And I know this one lady that has supported her two kids. She's a single mom, and if it wasn't for VRBOs. And so we have to look at those. Also, at least when I travel, especially since COVID, we rarely go to motels. We go to Airbnb, VRBOs, because
it's very popular. Yeah,
very popular, and you don't have to be around a lot of other people and stuff. And it's funny. I'll talk to people that are against. You know, they want more regulations, and they're against VRBOs. And yet, when you ask them, "Well, when you travel,
where do you stay?"
Yeah. VRBO, right? And so, and it comes down to property rights. You know, somebody. I know Continental just changed their bylaws, and we'll see if they get any legal, you know, lawsuits against that, because if somebody bought a property with the intention and the belief that they had that freely, and then you take it away from them.
It's a state law. We have a proposition that guarantees that government can't affect your, or any entity, I guess, can't affect your property rights.
Right. So, you know, and the city kind of faced that when they decided to lower the height of some of the new development, which was a state law zoning, and then they thought they could just override that and change it, and then they got slapped with a big lawsuit. So, you know, which is amazing to me. It's like, so I don't know. There's a lot of things that have happened at the city council level that you think, do they just kind of throw it out there and say, well, let's just wait and see if we get sued because we know this is illegal, and that's got to stop. That's not a good.
Something that happens at city council a lot, as you know, is you have a lot of lawyers that advise you on things, and I've just seen an attitude of, The lawyers that tell you, and a lot of times I hire outside counsel, they know the laws. They let the council members know. But it's the council members' discretion if they want to say, I know, or I heard you, but I'm going to do this anyway. And sometimes it almost seems like it's for political points because they know they're going to get sued. But, hey, I could drag this out for 6 months, 12 months. And does it really matter if I spend $500,000 of taxpayer money on lawyers? Right. And that's sadly an attitude.
I feel like that's the attitude with a lot of them now, because they are making some political points. And, you know, there was a time when I wondered, well, is our legal counsel really incompetent and just not sharing this?
I don't think so.
And I don't think so either. I think the council on so many different issues just decide to make this political point, and it's taxpayer money. And so for them, it's a free, you know, bank account, and they just do what they want to advance their political interest.
Yeah, it's too bad. All right, let's hit on, what is this, Green New Deal stuff? No, this is, what's it called? Oh, carbon neutrality. That's Green New Deal stuff.
It is.
Right? Okay, well, so we'll talk about carbon neutrality. Maybe talk about managed growth a little bit. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? But let's come back and do that in just a minute. And I swear, this is my, look at my screen here. They're all like housing related stuff in a row. So I didn't plan that, even though we've been talking about housing. Final sponsor for this segment is Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. Carl, the Gutter Helmet's on recently. You can catch his interview by going to talkwithjeff.com. Look at sponsors and giveaways there. Did a great job. Talked about his business stories, success stories, and of course the Gutter Helmet system. If you're a homeowner and you don't want to go up on the ladder anymore, or you're dealing with 6 inches of pine needles, which is what often happens, because everybody has their, that's another problem with fires. People have the trees like, and I'm guilty. Yes. You've seen my house. I'm guilty. I've got pine trees like growing right next to it.
I have about a foot wide.
It's the worst thing, but can you cut that tree down?
No.
I mean, it's heartbreaking to cut the thing down. Anyway, you don't want your gutters catch on fire from all the pine needles and all that stuff. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, he can help you out. And, if you're a senior, first responder, you can get a discount. If you mention a Jeff Orbit Show, you can save up to 30%. It's got a multi-patented reverse curve system. It deflects all those pine needles. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. Back more with Lori Matthews. Hang tight.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show. This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, welcome back. We're talking with Lori Matthews, who's running for the Flagstaff City Council. If you got a comment, love to hear from you. Send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Also, you can leave a comment on the Just Wireless listener line anytime, 877-971-3971. Lori Matthews, the election's coming up here. Ballots go out early October. You have a date on that? That's soon.
Yeah, I think it's October 8th, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's usually like 4 weeks before or so. I hate the month-long election. I wish we'd go back to just... I would be even happy with if we moved our elections to like the weekend and said you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
If you can't vote in one of those 3 days, unless you're, you know, military, you're going overseas, some kind of valid reason to get that early ballot. It's never going to happen. 90% of people now vote by the early ballot.
Right.
We're lazy. I get it, but it would be nice to trim this down a little bit because it's brutal.
It is.
Has it been brutal for you?
It is.
It is.
Yeah. It's, I thought I didn't have to start campaigning or putting stuff together till September 1st, and then I had a rude awakening, and so started putting my ads and commercials. Matter of fact, I've got some ads running on your station and the one before this. So just lining all that up and getting all that organized. It's a lot of work and you have to start early I have, but definitely no vacation time for me.
Yeah, no, it's almost like a year long campaign nowadays to get paid like $24,000 though. So
big bucks.
it's not even minimum wage anymore.
I didn't even know that city council got paid when I first you applied.
Actually, Flagstaff surprisingly is one of the higher paid city councils in Northern Arizona. Some of them are even far less. Now I would classify it as almost a full time job at this point if you're really going to do it right. Mm-hmm. Because people ask me hey, I want to run for city council, and I'm like, you could probably do it in 20 hours a week, but that's bare minimum. You're probably 30 to 40 hours and just all kinds of commitments. It's a huge life change.
Right, because you're also going to different events and functions and stuff and representing the city. So, and I think it's the same salary that state senators get. So it's all
until you get into
the U.S., into the federal level, you really have to do it because you have a heart for it and are dedicated
And that's how it should be. I mean, I don't think that anybody should be making a career out of this. That's the problem.
Exactly.
So I mean, members of Congress get paid, I think, like $180,000 or something like that. Now, that's for a lot of them. That's and then they become millionaires because insider trading and all that. That's a whole nother story, there, right? They come in with no money and leave like making $180,000 a year. Like 10 years later, and it's like I got a net worth of $7 million.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I would too if I knew the tricks to which stocks to buy. Whole nother story there, but it should be a I'm doing this for my community. Like, kind of going back to the founding fathers, it's like, I want to go serve and then I'm going back to the farm or whatever the heck people do now. Nobody farms.
I don't know how younger people can do it. Definitely. Really, I'm retired or semi-retired. I still run my nonprofit, although I have somebody there every day. But, you know, just the amount of work I'm putting in already just to investigate all the issues and make sure that I understand all the issues and what's going on. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like running a radio show.
Yeah. And my husband golfs every day. So
Maybe I should do that. Running a radio show. Yeah. I thought it'd be like a little less time than the city council. It's like more. It paid a little better, but anyway. All right. One more thing on the election. Flagstaff had a unique situation. Cottonwood had a similar situation as this as well. There's six council members. There's one mayor. Every 2 years, three members are up. Mm-hmm. But in this election, you had four come up, actually, because somebody resigned.
Right, because Becky Daggett.
That's right, okay.
Her term, she resigned to run for mayor. And so she still has 2 years left on her term. The city council appointed someone to fill her spot until the elections.
Okay.
So that's where I come in with the 3.5 seats. So we've got 3 4-year terms and then a remaining 2-year term that will be filled hopefully during the elections.
But only two of you qualified to get on the ballot.
Correct.
You and a sitting council member, Austin.
Ashlyn.
Okay. Correct. So other people have lined up on a write-in candidacy. How's that work? Because, and I've touched on it. I think we've had city clerks in on the past on this. Mm-hmm. You can't write in. Let's say you weren't running. You can't just write in Lori Matthews if you don't fill out the paperwork. There's
Correct.
Requirements. What's the basic requirements?
So you have to file by September 10th.
Deadline's gone. Okay.
Yeah. And you have to say that you intend to be a write-in candidate. And then, you know, which I was out getting those 1,602 signatures when it was 18 degrees and freezing my tush off in front of the post office or going door to door and stuff and sending my husband out. And
he took off from golf. I guess it was freezing. So,
well, yeah, our golf club up here is closed during the winter. So that's the only way I got him out there. But
it's good.
But, you know, I feel like it was a show on how dedicated and hardworking you're going to be on council if you can get those signatures, because it is not easy. But we do have to fill those seats, and so this is how the rules and the laws are laid out. So the write-in candidates, though, have to get a minimum of 1,602 votes during the election. If no one or not enough of the write-in candidates meet that threshold, then the city council will appoint people to fill that spot. So just because you're a write-in, it's not the one who gets the most if they don't get that first threshold.
We should change that. That sounds kind of, I don't know, just if you get the write-in qualification, you think you'd have you got to get at least 500 votes. Because now it's just somebody's just going to appoint somebody. I mean,
I don't like that. And
yeah, the council.
And we had a really
very political
low turnout in the primaries. And so I'm a little concerned about having enough people come out and vote to get all the seats filled. And I don't want to be in a position, and not to assume I'm going to get on council, because I could still get beat out by all the write-in candidates. So, you know, I just don't think that that's a fair way to serve our city.
Yeah,
to
I don't
want to
cut it short on that as far as your odds of getting in, because people are just got to fill in your circle.
Right.
And Austin, you too. And then they got to write in a bunch of other people's names pretty damn close to the spelling.
Correct.
They can't just be way off. It's not quite as bad as Jeopardy, but it's pretty dang close,
pretty close.
And that's hard to line up. You really better be out. And I got to be honest with you, I'm pretty involved, although I got to be honest with you, I don't pay as close attention to the city of Flagstaff as I do the state legislature now. And even, you know, when we do our DC updates, we got a lot of towns and cities in our listening area. But I would say I'm pretty informed, maybe more so than a lot of people, as to what's going on in the city. And I would have a hard time naming one or two or any of the write-ins at this point. So I can see that nobody gets it.
Well, I suspect there's going to be a lot of money behind campaigning and awareness for the write-in candidates.
A political drive,
at least from the Democrat Party. They've got a lot of literature already out there. They've got their names, the people selected, and they're going to do a hard campaign. They're well organized, they're well funded, and I do not suspect that you know, I think that everybody will have those names.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you, I don't do a lot of endorsements. I do more during the general. I vote in the city of Flagstaff. I will be filling in your circle for city council. I really think we need that. You need at least a voice who will bring up that, hey, should we do this carbon neutrality thing? And let's get to that in a minute. Or look at the housing issues and spending issues. I'll be filling in that circle, and I hope people consider that. But Lori, I mean, you've got a city that has gone from, when I was in there, the budget was like two, and I actually ran into a former colleague of mine at the county fair recently, Celia Barrett, who was on the council the same time as me. We often disagreed on a lot, but we were sitting there saying, oh my God, I can't believe their budget. We were like 230, 240. This was back in 2016, not that long ago, 2015. It's like 500 million.
Yeah, they just
Heck happened?
Right. Well, they have to make room for all their special projects.
Oh, it's a special project. Okay, right. Tell me about some of these special projects. Tell me what the carbon neutrality stuff is when we come back. We're talking with Lori Matthews, who's running for the Flagstaff City Council. Hey, Timberline Firearms and Training has some great training opportunities for you. If you're new to firearms, if you're somewhere in the middle, if you're a seasoned veteran, they can help you out, take you to the next level, and, of course, bring you to a very safe level. First Shots program, great program there. Call Timberline Firearms and Training and book a training course right now. They go really quick, so don't wait. Plus, this is a great gift. If you want to give somebody a great gift, I'd love a gift of Timberline. You can give me that. 928-52, Lori, you can give you some Timberline?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Why not, right?
Why not?
Yeah. Timberline Firearms and Training. Give them a call, 928-526-7900. Also, they've got indoor shooting range. They've got Liberty Safes, firearms, accessories, all of that, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. We'll finish up with Lori Matthews. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Talking the Flagstaff City Council election, housing, a bunch more. We'll continue on with Lori Matthews in just a second. Don't forget to catch Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least, which is on every Saturday. Glenn and I go over everything from, you know, investing, insurance. We'll talk about cryptocurrencies. We'll talk about cash. We'll talk about gold. We'll talk about silver. Just about everything that has to do with your finances. Plus, he's got a wealth of information. I believe we're up to like show number 41 on that. If you look up Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least on your favorite podcast provider, you can go back. Do what Mark Howitt did. He speed listened. I don't know how he did that. He did like two times. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard
that. Who does that? I don't know if he...
I do that, actually.
You do that?
I do that.
You sound like chipmunks.
I do that with the city council meetings.
Oh, jeez.
I won't be able to do that next year.
Yeah. Don't you just fast forward like that. Remember the movie Click with Adam Sandler?
Right.
You had the remote, the universal remote. You can fast forward it. Anyway, Glenn Least can help you out. If you want just a second opinion, if you want to get a free, no obligation consultation, give Glenn a call at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. And you can have a one-on-one conversation with him just like I do when he comes on the program. That's 928-225-2474. Lori Matthews is with us, running for the Flagstaff City Council. I've talked about this when it comes to California, when it comes to, and you know that California is going all electric vehicles by 2035. So they claim. They're experiencing the risk of blackouts right now when something like 18% of the cars are electric and or hybrid or hydrogen. And I'm like, how's this all going to work? The city of Flagstaff has bought into the carbon neutrality by when and what is this?
2030. So last year.
It's, everywhere's 2030, 2035.
Well,
is that when it's ending? Is that the,
so we're going to be underwater then.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good to know.
Buy a raft. And this is something I guess that I'll learn more about if I, get on council, but, this was a pass just through city council and not brought to the voters to vote on because they didn't have a set way of paying for it. Like it wasn't through sales tax exclusively or property tax. And so they were able to pass a $200 million carbon neutrality plan to be realized by 2030. And they have a list of how they're going to accomplish that. And they're already moving a lot of money from, you know, line item budget issues over there. We've gone from a sustainability department to a division.
Nice.
And they hold a lot of the money from the budget. And, you know, I think we all live up here because we love our forest and we love the environment and stuff, but we're not going to fix the world. We're not going to save the world by, you know, going carbon neutral by 2030. And one of the things that really caught my eye and was really one of the reasons why I decided to throw my hat into the ring and run is because I was corresponding with the department head last year. And I said, I'm reading your 109 page plan and I see these gross numbers, you know, gross emissions going out into the atmosphere, but I've also known that we have three natural canopies that absorb emissions from going into the atmosphere. They're trees and dirt and water. Well, we have two of those surrounding us. And so
you forgot unicorn flex.
And unicorn. Yes. And, well, yeah.
Sorry.
And so I said, what's the net number? I mean, is it a $20 million urgency that we do this? Because we're kind of in an environment that has really clean air and we have all these natural canopies that absorb these emissions from going out there. So is it really worth $200 million when we could be maybe putting that money somewhere else? And, you know, she told me at the time they didn't have a device to measure it. They're just going off, you know, they want to reduce the gross numbers, but who knows how much that's really even impacting. Also, I kind of deep dove into some of the things they want to change. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was by 2030, they want to convert 12,500 homes in the Sunnyside area to all electric. They want to they want to retrofit them with solar and all this stuff. So I'm asking her, well, how are you going to do that? And, you know, she was working with a consultant from Chicago, and they were giving her these personal loan plans that were market rate, personal loan, 10-year plans.
What's interesting? Would they factor it in?
It was like 4.5%. I mean, nobody's going to sign up for that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's
and
crazy.
And also, I have, you know, I have a very extensive banking, you know, business banking career. And I have a lot of contacts. And a lot of them are in California because that's where I grew up. And so I contacted one of my friends who's in the utility business. And so I asked him, I said, you know, in this carbon neutrality plan that we have, they want to convert all these homes into all electric, you know, how by 2030. So how realistic is that? And he just, after he finished laughing, and I thought it was the transformers that would be the issue. He goes, they'll last like 100 years. But he said, Lori, you have to upgrade those power lines.
Yep.
To be able to handle that load. And he said, on your best day, if you had a full crew 24/7, it would take you 2 to 3 decades. So we're facing, if they start really pushing that and converting homes before we upgrade our infrastructure, people losing power for days and weeks at a time when we're in the middle of a snowstorm.
Look around the world when it comes to cooling right now.
Look what happened in Texas.
Yeah. Look what happened in Texas. Look what happened to, look what's happened in France and Germany and California, on and on.
And interestingly, it was about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, both APS and SRP in Arizona stated, it was in one of the Phoenix papers, that by next year, 2023, they don't have the infrastructure to support the current demand.
not adding.
Yeah.
By retrofitting.
Adding, just
or adding
current,
electric vehicles
right.
or whatever, yeah.
And I also had read that California in 2020, because of all the fires, were the most polluting state in our union. Forget all the stuff they've been trying to do to be carbon neutral and all electric, but because they're not taking care of forest health, which is my focus, I mean, that affects all of us. I was out this last weekend cleaning up an area in Doney Park for our church went out, and we went out and just helped some families that are still so devastated by the flooding after the fires, and they're still traumatized.
Yeah.
And as a city, that's what we should be looking at. I know that on the west side, with all the flooding we had last month, that they had to beg the city for help that they finally got because it's an election year, right? I feel like.
Yeah.
Because at first they're like, oh, we can't. We don't have the budget. We don't have the resources. And then all of a sudden, magically, they have it. And I think as
they should have $500 million.
Right. Well, and I think as a city that's surrounded by forests, that we should be like the state of Arizona that has an emergency fund. So we can draw on that to go out and do these special projects of flood mitigation and stuff if these things happen in the future.
Well, it's a shame that we haven't taken care of the forest. It's a shame. You know, I go out and cut firewood a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that they've discouraged the use of the wood stoves. Nowadays are super efficient as far as the smoke they put out. I think in some cases it's getting a little ridiculous, but you can put a log in there, burn for 24 hours. But it's like a big, it's like nuclear power is, and a little less to a degree. People are looking at nuclear power as a solution for energy, even some of the environmentalists at this point. But same thing with, you live in the largest ponderosa forest in the world, continuous ponderosa forest, and you don't use the resources for biomass, for electricity, for heat and things like that. Yeah. And I'm all for different kinds of energy and stuff like that to kind of switch gears. We live in Arizona, so you use solar, but I don't know about using some other things here. And Northeast, I'd probably wouldn't want to use solar as much. It just seems like government and a lot of these politicians, the world's going to end by 2030. We all got to do this. And it's like it doesn't make sense from region to region.
Right. And if we were Phoenix or Yuma or one of those other cities that have a lot of heat, a lot of pollution, I could see being more
aggressive.
Doing
the wood stove. Yeah.
Right. But up here, we have clean air. And we have natural canopies that absorb the emissions. And then we have the 40 and the 17, so we're never going to stop that. So there's
so
much.
And the train. And the emissions from the train. And emissions from the forest fires that happen.
Yeah, I think they just want a participation ribbon. They want to be the first. They've said that many times. They want to be the first city in the United States, and that should not be our priority. I mean, we should all be concerned about the environment, but to be the first,
you don't want to be a guinea pig on something like this, because that's, what year is it? 2022?
Right. And California.
8 years away, we're going to do this. We're going to electrify. Hey, come on.
No. And you probably saw all those notices that California is getting about don't charge your car during these hours because
this is
going to
turn out great. Mm-hmm. This is good. I think I'm going to just start buying up gas powered devices and saving them, because I think they might go up. Oh, you might be spending $10 a gallon though,
right?
To power them, but it, you know, we got cut firewood, and I'm like, electric saw. It has its uses, but it's just not going to cut through this literally versus the gas ones. Olivia, do you have any final questions for Lori here? No.
Wow, I just walked in mid-conversation.
She just walked in mid-conversation.
I just heard something about a chainsaw, but...
Yeah, you hear stuff about that. So, city council elections coming up, and it's a big one, because do you want a voice on there that's going to oppose this? It's usually good for my show, to be honest with you, because I watch it, and it's like HDTV circus mm-hmm. sometimes, and I don't want that for my hometown. I think it's gotten almost to like a just cartoonish sometimes with the things they're doing. I think it's kind of sad. And I think a lot of people though, and one with this, a lot of people are tuning out. Mm-hmm. A lot of people mentally are just like, I don't even want to be involved anymore, because it's gotten so polarized. It's gotten so ridiculous. I guess, how do we get those people back? And involved with the process, especially locally.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. So many people have tuned out. They don't show up. They didn't show up to vote. We had a very low voter turnout. Yeah. And I think because they've just given up. So I hope that something will re-spark their enthusiasm to have hope that, you know, we can have a city that's back to doing things for our community. And I mean, I'm not saying that our current city council doesn't, but they also have different agendas. And we didn't get to touch on Lone Tree, maybe next time, because that's a big issue. And that
big
is
interchange.
Going,
yeah.
Yeah.
Am I going to have to pay for that too?
They're not following the voters' request for traffic.
Oh, that already passed. Is that one that already passed?
Well, I don't know that ADOT passed. Or
but we'll hit on that one next time. Let's get you on again, especially maybe some more updates on housing and stuff like that. It's amazing all the bonds they passed to these governments, and they've got so much coming into the coffers. I mean, mm-hmm. like we were talking about, it's doubled in size, the budget.
The budget.
Yeah, and it's still, you're asking me to borrow money when your budget's doubled?
Right. And a lot of people are commenting on the current bonds, like they don't trust council with any more money.
Yeah. I don't trust anyone with any more money.
A lot of comments on that.
All right, Lori Matthews running for the Flagstaff City Council. Lori, thank you. We'll talk with you again real soon. You got comments? Love to hear from you. Olivia, we'd love to hear from folks. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a few.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Welcome back. It's September 9th, and I figure if there can be, like, a National Sandwich Day, then it can be National Olivia Takes Over the Studio Day. I mean, I think that should be a thing. I mean, what is there? If I was to search September 9th,
what is today?
National Win Pigs Fly Day. That sounds realistic.
Is that a real thing?
Yes! Sourdough September.
I like sourdough.
National Honey Month. National Chicken Month. National Mushroom Month. Okay, they've actually thought of everything. I mean, like, seriously, what?
There's no national just take over the radio. I told Olivia just to finish up Friday. I got lazy today because, you know, we're heading out next week. Got our big kind of week off.
You could have let me take over the whole segment.
I told you to. I said just do it, and I won't even come in. But they have a day for everything. You know?
Mm-hmm, that's what my point was.
Yeah, like, but not Olivia takes over,
like,
the studio.
There's like multiple things. Yes, that's what it should be, though. Yeah. September 9th.
Welcome back, everyone. Hey, emails. We love email comments, right? Even though I don't know how many we'll get to at this point in the week. And then we'll get to them when we get back.
talkwithjeff@icloud.com.
What do we got? We've got a new poll. Let me get my notes here, Olivia. A little slow. Let me sit up straight here. Fox 10 poll, along with Insider Advantage, did a poll on a few of the Arizona races, governor's race. Did you look at this? Have you seen it? What do you think? It's between Katie Hobbs, the Democrat, and Carrie Lake, which you've gotten to know Carrie Lake on this show, and we've all gotten to know Carrie Lake very well. Katie Hobbs, we haven't seen, but that's okay. What do you think it's at, polling-wise? You think they're... one is way up ahead, or any guesses? Do it quick, though. Radio.
I don't know. I don't know.
43% Carrie Lake, according to this poll, to Katie Hobbs at 44%. So dead heat. Oh. Dead heat race. 10% still undecided, according to this. Another key race here is Senator Mark Kelly, who I heard an ad for him early. He just goes by Mark now. Hey, man, I'm Mark. You know, he shows up, boom, boom. He's got the motorcycle and he's got the leather jacket. Hey,
as if anybody, hey, would, dude, it's Mark. Anybody would recognize him when they saw him. Because
I would.
So
yeah, I would recognize him.
No one's seen him.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. But I've seen him on TV is what I'm saying. I see his ads all the time. So I'd see, there's Mark. Hey, Mark. Hey, what's up, dude? Anyway, Senator Mark Kelly, the Democrat, is at 45%, if you believe polls, to and Blake Masters referred to this the other day on the program. I think he was on, I don't know, earlier in the week. You can look it up and you can catch his. He's on the Election 2022 section, by the way, Olivia. We have that, and we've repopulated that with the current interviews of people who have come through after the primary. And Blake Masters mentioned this, that, hey, he's catching up. Blake Masters says he's catching up because he's closed the gap, 45 to 39%. So according to this poll, a six-point race, which is close to the margin of error, but Kelly, this is a tough race for Blake Masters for sure. 12% undecided. So there's people to sway.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. And I mean, yeah. I feel like I don't really trust polls so much because then people change last minute and it's like,
yeah, and people are
it
not
depends
as...
on just what happens.
Yeah, very like, true.
In the coming time.
In the coming weeks, yeah. Let's see. Katie Hobbs is refusing to debate Carrie Lake. So there's supposed to be the group Clean Elections, which is if you decide to take clean money, it's you're capped on how much you can take, and then we all are supposed to fund these elections. Governor candidates don't take it anymore because you don't have enough money to run an effective campaign. But the Clean Elections Committee is hosting a governor's debate, and Katie Hobbs gave her like kind of an ultimatum, said you got one more week. Now, of course, Carrie Lake wants to debate. She loves this stuff.
If I hear that somebody doesn't want to debate, that screams, I don't think I can win. I'd have a weaker position.
Or I'm scared of this other person. Or, yeah, I can't exactly. Go talk to this. So Katie Hobbs going on and on that Carrie Lake made a spectacle out of the Republican primary debates, and she doesn't want to do that. She did blah, 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 blah. Just go debate. Katie Hobbs, go debate Carrie Lake.
Or it sounds really
bad. But she basically wants what people are referring to as like a safe room. You know, she wants to do the debate like in a separate place, or they want to do different times with the questions. She doesn't want to go head to head. Yeah, this is so stupid. It's like, you want to be governor of our state and you're worried about debating Carrie Lake? I mean, just go do it. Just go do it. So the Clean Elections Committee people have given Katie Hobbs like a 7 days to decide if Arizona residents should get a look-see here. One more news item here. As far as the Blake Masters campaign, I guess better late than never. All three Republican former governors, living former governors, I hope I got this right, Ducey, Brewer, and Symington have all now endorsed Blake Masters for the Senate. So better late than, you remember, most of these people, at least Ducey and Brewer, they all endorsed, what was her name? Who's the person? I can't even remember now. That was running against Carrie Lake.
Karen Taylor Robson.
Yeah, they all had endorsed her. Okay, what do you got for me, Olivia? Wait. I gotta tell you something real quick.
Oh, okay.
I gotta tell you, if you're out there right now, the weather is like awesome. There's like this cloud cover and it's like 70 degrees. If you're down in the Verde Valley, if you're in the Prescott area, or if you're listening to us, you're maybe coming up from Phoenix and you've got an itch to go buy a new car. I want you to you thought he was going somewhere else with this, huh? I want you to go to Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff because it is a heck of a lot cooler up here. And if you're in the Prescott area and all those other areas I just mentioned, it's actually quicker to just head on up to Flagstaff. It's cooler. It's a better drive, and you're going to get a great deal. You're not going to find a better deal in Phoenix. Right now, they're finishing up these cool summer savings events at Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff. So come on up. Choose a new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff right there in the auto park, kind of behind the Flagstaff Mall in East Flagstaff. Okay, now you go.
Okay, so Haarlem in the Netherlands is to become the first city in the world to ban meat ads.
Meat ads.
People these days, so intelligent. Haarlem, about 10 miles from Amsterdam, will become the first city in the world to ban the advertising of meat in most public spaces.
It's dangerous. I get it.
That could include everything from supermarket chicken to fast food burgers, though the draft bill hasn't yet specified whether sustainably produced meats would get a pass.
Oh, like plant-based meats. Like plant-based rice. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah, instead of chicken rice.
Yeah, yeah. There's the new plant-based rice. We, me and Olivia, spent some time on this. Was it earlier in the week? Mm-hmm. That they've finally done it. They've come up with a plant-based rice, and they were so proud. The Knorr, K-N-O-R, rice people were like, these plant-based people. Rice. So they finally stopped making it in the factory, I guess. And they... Go ahead.
Just with meat, it's like, okay, you don't want to have meat, whatever, but like...
That's fine.
What's your problem? I think that the world is going to be overrun with cows, pigs, chickens. They're going to take over the entire world. They
take over
because
of the slaughterhouse
they're
going, yeah. This reminds me of the campaigns to no advertising for cigarettes. That's what they did for a long time. They finally said, you can't advertise cigarettes. You don't see those anymore. So now we're on to meat. Yeah. And so first city... in the world to ban meat ads. Meat can be dangerous. So remember that movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? I mean, people got killed by meatballs.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. What, are you going to make a dagger out of hamburger?
The bacon dagger burger. All right. Well, good luck over there. You know, I was talking to my dad, to Grandpa about Europe, and I'm watching what's going on in Europe in amazement right now. Literally, people are getting hit. Yeah, this is what you got to worry about in the Netherlands is, you know, let's protect us from meat. Meanwhile, the average folks can't even afford meat anymore because their gas bills to heat and cook the meat have gone up, not just a little bit, not 10%, tenfold. So if you have a $200 a month gas bill, it's gone up to like $2,000 because of what's going on with Ukraine and their reliance on Russia can you imagine that? So from a real problem to a, you know, mortgage payment or more, I'm going to watch what's going to happen in Europe. If they don't change real quick and figure out this Ukraine-Russia thing, I mean, we could be looking at an economic calamity that we haven't seen since maybe the end of World War II. We shall see what happens. Maybe cooler heads will prevail. A federal judge blocks Arizona law limiting filming of police. This is from U.S. News and World Report. There was a law that the legislature passed that if a police officer said, stop filming you know, you're within 8 feet or less, you're supposed to stop filming. Now, U.S. District Judge John J. Tucci, T-U-C-H-I, issued a preliminary injunction that stops the law from being enforced when it's set to take effect on September 24th. Quick decision came after Republican Arizona Attorney General Mark Burmish and the prosecutor and sheriff's office in Maricopa County told the judge they did not plan to defend the law. I think this thing's going down pretty quick. I don't think you're going to see this thing take effect because people, it's just, you don't want people in the officers' faces right there. But 8 feet, I think they're going to have a hard time getting this through the court system. Olivia, you got another one?
Yes. Program looks to make Phoenix neighborhood safer by installing alleyway gates. AZ Family.
I saw some pictures of that. So the alleyways are almost like, you know, the city owns these things, the towns and cities, right? But this has almost become like the place where the gangs now control and people.
Yeah, that's
and
then, what alleys are known for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the dark abandoned alley at midnight, meet me there. Yeah, meet me there. The package.
And then like people are, I got the secret, yeah, the secret package.
I'll give you the meat. I've got
some bacon. Yeah, and over in Netherlands, the alleys are like the black market bacon centers. There's such illicit activity going on there. But no, the alleys is where everybody dumps everything too. I mean, we have rental properties, and there's some alleys behind it, and there's always, 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 always abandoned cars being dumped there. It's like, oh, my car's breaking down. Push it in the alley, right? And then it's like, oh, my God, a nightmare. Couches, just about everything. So what the city of Phoenix is doing is they're doing like a program where they gate the alleys. So
I personally think, okay, maybe you're
going to hop the gate.
Able to roll your car in there or whatever. But yeah, if you put up the gate, if people want to go back there, they're just going to climb it.
Yeah, then people are going to be like, you know, just like setting up a tarp over between it, and it's going to become like a tent city back there or something like that. I did get a text. I'm sorry I won't have time to really fully follow this up. I will do it when we get back after next week. I did get a text from a listener in the Prescott area. I guess Prescott Valley Mayor affirms no book bans will be instituted at the public library. There was an effort to ban certain books. One listener said these are pornographic books. I haven't looked into it myself, so when we get back, we'll dig into this one a little more. But the mayor of Prescott Valley is saying that they'll mark the books as explicit or whatever, and it's up to the parents to, I guess, be vigilant about what their children read and events they attend. I don't know. The public libraries have more and more been becoming the I don't know. Do you go to? Have you? When's the last time you were there at the public library? It's been a long time.
I don't even know. Like that was like four.
I mean, they had like the drag queen story time at the Flagstaff Public Library for a while there. So that's kind of it for me. It was good after that, you know, whatever. Okay. What else we got? Did you do the neighbor? Yeah, you did that one. Oh, the personalized place. Did you see this one? I guess Arizona has put in some limitations on what word you can use on personalized plates in Arizona going forward. You can no longer use things like this. B1DNSUX. Biden sucks. JOESUX. Joe sucks. And F Fauci. They have made a list of different things, I guess, that you can't. For the, you know, the specialized plates that you pay for extra. So I'm sorry. Biden sucks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 have now been banned.
If you wanted to say something like Trump sucks, go ahead.
That's only in New York and California. Yeah, yeah, that's acceptable. Anyway, like we said, we're going to be going away. Let me tell you about that here in just a second. But I do want to tell you about my friends at Nova Home Loans. You thought I was going to mess this one up. If you're looking to refinance your home, now's still a good time. Looks like the Federal Reserve is going to be raising those interest rates once again by about 0.75 point. Don't worry. She's looking at me. I will find the number before I get to that point. I use Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, and she did a great job on my refinance. You know, if you're looking to refinance a property, or if you're looking to get into a new home, Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she can help you out. Even specialized properties like off-grid properties. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or you can go to novahomeloans.com. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, equal housing opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. So yeah, Yellowstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
8-day school trip.
8-day school trip. See, yes, I'm glad we got
there. Of course, there's 4 days driving, 2 days there, 2 days back.
It'll be fun, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go on a little yellow school bus.
Oh, no.
Could you imagine that?
Better not be.
Yeah, that would be a long ride. And you've been to Yellowstone a couple of times, so that'll be a good trip. Owen is in on this trip as well. And like I said, we're taking some time off next week. So since you guys are gone.
You always plan the fun vacations on we leave. Yeah,
we take a little road trip, hang out around the house a bit and this and that. And it's all good, you know. A little time to reconnoiter your thoughts, right? All right, when we come back, I do have a little bit of an interview actually here. And then Olivia and I will have our final thoughts for the week. And I guess for the 2 weeks coming up here, or no, 8 days. What did you say, 8 days?
Next week.
Next week, yeah. We talked a lot about housing this week. I want to give you a highlight of some of that when we come back, the housing crisis and the huge costs that so many people are facing when it comes to houses. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horrigan Show. This is the Jeff Horrigan Show.
All right, let's wrap things up here with kind of an interview highlight. Joe Galli from the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce spent some time with us. I want to get to the part of that interview where we get kind of intensely into the housing issue throughout the state as far as high cost of housing, et cetera, et cetera. Before I do that, though, hey, it's end of a busy week. Why don't you go unwind up at my friends at Sportsman's Bar and Grill if you're in the Flagstaff area. Great food, great drinks. And what I really like is all day, every day, they have great drink specials. $3 Mexican canned beer, $6 32-ounce mug specials. A lot of TVs on the wall there for all your sports action. Voted best sports bar many, many years in a row. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. If you're in Flagstaff, just go over towards the hospital. There's the Bash's Shopping Center right there, and you'll see it. And don't forget, next week, during the week, they have their daily lunch specials Monday. I'm sorry, not lunch specials, daily specials Monday through Thursday. It's not just lunch. It's all day long, including Taco Tuesday and Wing Wednesday and Sliders on Thursday. Some really great specials. Check out my friends at Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital in the Bash's Shopping Center. So the housing issue is huge in this state as far as the cost, especially for our rural communities in northern Arizona. I mean, Prescott, Sedona, Cottonwood, Camp Verde's going up like crazy. Williams is going up like crazy. Flagstaff, of course. Joe Galli from the Greater Flagstaff Chamber of Commerce joined us to talk about this. Joe, I say a lot of this stuff throughout Arizona, especially northern Arizona, when you look at Flagstaff, when you look at Williams, when you look at even Prescott, Sedona, even Camp Verde's gone up a lot. Cottonwood's gone up a lot. It's a desirability to, quite frankly, get into more rural communities. It's a desirability to get away from the kind of the crap that's going on in the big cities and not want to live with 5.5 million other people in Phoenix, or to move from California and sell your $1.5 million little shack, basically, and come buy a house cash. And then we have
three
land.
Three times the size.
Yeah, exactly. With some land, we have land scarcity here. Try to buy a lot in Flagstaff or Sedona. If there's any available, it's $250,000.
Are you following what Enchantment Resort is doing in Sedona?
No.
Enchantment?
No,
Enchantment's
what's that?
Down, as an employer, and a very large employer, and one of our premier resorts in the state, is buying up land in Cottonwood and buying up residential and rental units for employee housing. And the neighbors down there in Cottonwood are not happy about it. But it's a reality. To your point, I've said this repeatedly, and I've tried to get some others that are in elected positions in this community to take up this mantra, and that is that we're not going to solve our community's housing problems within the city of Flagstaff. The Board of Supervisors has to get engaged. The Board of Supervisors has to have housing as a higher priority than they currently do. The County Board of Supervisors and their development staff should be meeting jointly and regularly with the city leadership, the mayor and others would lead on. Look, I mean, what we did a study back in January of 2020, housing was the number one concern over everything.
Yeah.
At 29%, this was a survey of voters in the city of Flagstaff. Jobs in the economy, 15%. NAU 14%, traffic congestion 14%, by almost double. Housing was the number one issue.
Joe, and so that's 2022. That was before the huge spike.
Correct.
So one more thing on that. It is the major concern for folks around the country right now. Their housing costs, their cost of living expenses, all of these things that are quite frankly taking money out of their pockets, and people are struggling. But quite frankly, our politicians and the bureaucrats out there, they still push the pet projects and all this other stuff while people are struggling, Joe.
Yeah, we need some leadership. We desperately need leadership in the community.
That's understatement.
the private sector can get us out of this. The private sector can absolutely get us out of this. Yes, lumber costs are all-time highs. Yes, there's a shortage of everything under the sun that goes into a residential unit. Yes, our residential developers are struggling a little bit. Yes, they're being forced to cut deals with the municipality to build affordable units within whatever number of units they're building. They do that in a development agreement. It's not against the law. However, the municipality can't mandate it. If you have 170 units you're building, the city can't tell you 10% of that has to be affordable.
But they can make your life hell.
By our numbers.
They can make their life live in hell, though.
Correct. So the developer if they don't. Agrees to do it, but this is what happens. The developer then takes a massive loss on the affordable units and passes it on to the market rate units, which drives the cost of the market rate.
Yeah, drives everybody's homes up.
And at this hearing yesterday, I do want your audience to know this, your listenership to know this. You know, we made a case that that the private sector can with a little less of a regulation on the developer, a little maybe less costly process, a more expedited process, mm-hmm. where the developer kind of knows up front what the costs of the home would be to the municipality in order to get the infrastructures and other needs, and can get the approval quickly so they can get building and vertical as quickly as possible. That's helpful. However, we had a council member, Adam Schimone, stood up during the public comments, and he said to this housing supply study committee, these folks from all over the state and representing different interests in housing, he said, "We don't need more market units here in Flagstaff. We need more affordable units." And so I was thankful for Council Member Schimone because he admitted what the prevailing thought process has been at mayor and council in recent years that has hindered Flagstaff residents from getting into housing opportunities and from moving up from their existing housing opportunities to other. It's done is created a divide. Look, one of our lead developers stood up at the podium and testified during public, or he actually was on the agenda, and he said, we're headed towards being a Telluride.
Yeah.
That's exactly where Flagstaff is headed. That's not what the business community wants.
I know
by
it's
the way.
Not what the business community wants, Joe, but I got to be honest with you. It's always going to be a lot more expensive in a community like Flagstaff. I don't see that changing. I don't see that anything. There's nothing the government. Well, actually, there is things the government can do. They could open up more land. And Steve Kaiser, Representative Kaiser, and I talked about this. So you got state trust land you could swap out. It is a land scarcity issue. They have, to some degree, and it's not just the state, the local, it's also the feds. They've created an island within the national forest, and it's just there's only so much land available. You don't change that, Joe.
That's task number one. Actually, Jeff, I want to correct you there.
Okay.
Because
Corrected.
In 1998, former Congressman J.D. Hayworth mm-hmm. from Arizona's 6th Congressional District got a land grant over in Alpine, Arizona.
Okay.
It was called HELGA, the Hayworth Education Land Grant Act, where the United States Forest Service deeded land to the municipality, to the school district, so they could build a school.
So you're saying there's a chance.
They really needed a school in Alpine.
Yeah.
And HELGA got that done. And why isn't our county board of supervisors back in Washington, D.C. saying,
pushing HELGA?
Hey, let's use this same model. Let's actually get up and let's get more land into the private sector so that we can build more units. And that's, Jeff, look, the reality is, let's be honest, these folks running our municipalities, they just don't want more people coming here.
Well, people need to be honest about this. I think if you ask them, if you did a private survey, a lot of people, would say, if they've been here for years, I want to pull up the plank. I'm here. I bought my house for $400,000. It's now worth $900,000.
Community, and you cannot.
Well,
sustain,
I mean, how does Aspen and Telluride and all these other places survive? And I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here.
By the way, I'll tell you, Aspen right now is tearing itself apart. The community of Aspen, Colorado, has gone through several years of fights amongst their private sector entities, their ski areas, and their restaurants and others, because they have no place for their employees to live.
They can't live anywhere. Okay.
They cannot live anywhere. And by the way, when it snows, they can't get to work because they're commuting from 40 miles outside of town.
Yeah. And you see that all across the Intermountain West. But what if, and I've said this a lot, what if it just becomes where people are living outside the city of Flagstaff? Williams has become unattainable. It's become very expensive. But what about Winslow? What about Twin Arrows? There's vast tracks of land there. Sadly, Verde Valley has become a lot more expensive. I know a lot of people that commute to Flagstaff or Prescott or Sedona from there because the cost of living. Good luck finding a home for $300,000 there.
Look, the market's malleable. So to your point, you already have a number of employees living in the Verde Valley that work in Flagstaff, and they're doing the 45-minute commute every day up and down I-17. God bless them.
We need teleporters like Star Trek.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah, right.
But let's just have common sense housing solutions. Let's cut the developer lease.
I agree that you can have an impact. Don't get me wrong. And that there are so many things that the private sector can solve the problem to a degree. But I don't want to ever sugarcoat it that, hey, you're going to be buying $300,000 homes here anytime soon. Unless there's a market catastrophe like 08.
One of your buddies, Hope Construction.
Okay, yeah.
You got to look up what Hope Construction is doing.
Doing great work. They got the tiny home thing, don't they?
Over on 4th Street.
Yeah,
those units are under $200,000.
Okay.
You get in there. It's a great... Chamber of Commerce just did a ribbon cutting last Friday with Dave Carpenter.
I got to have him on that. That's a good project. Yeah.
Here's a pen. You need a pen.
I got a pencil. Right. I mean, that way I can erase things.
Yeah. Don't erase this. David Carpenter and Hope Construction. And the guy sends his kids to schools here. I mean, his family lives here. He's vested in the community. And so oftentimes these people are painted as the big bad developer.
They hate their community, pave it over. It's like that series Yellowstone where the big the hedge fund comes in. I just can't wait to pave this all over. It's usually not the case.
It's not the case here.
Yeah. Not with your local
people. Give them more opportunities. But you know what he's doing? He's got homes for under $200,000 over there. So
I've been an advocate of tiny homes and things like that. Used to be you'd have manufactured, even trailer parks back in the day, and those were more affordable options, multifamily homes. Obviously, it's a much smaller home, and I don't know if you're leasing the land. A lot of times there's deals like that.
It is a land lease,
So, I mean, it's a way to definitely get in a home and to be under what you'd be. Because if you're getting a $200,000 home and you're getting a mortgage on it, you're way under rent market.
The other thing I'll tell you.
As far as what you would pay to rent someplace.
The other thing I'll tell you, and I know we're running up against time here. We got a couple other things to talk about. The Habitat for Humanity and some of our chamber members, Shepard Westnitzer, the engineering firm, Westpac, Tyler Mark from Westpac is on the chamber board, Walter Crutchfield with Vintage Partners. Those three Guillermo Cortez at Shepard Westnitzer, those three chamber board members, their entities have partnered with Habitat for Humanity. You should get Eric Wolverton in maybe and have him talk about the equity plan. They're doing 40 units. It's a nonprofit. I think it's a good thing. Look, it doesn't solve the problem overnight. To your point, yes. Well, I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I'm just saying what we've been doing
in
is
work.
Counterintuitive.
I agree.
And now we want more of it.
I agree.
That doesn't make sense.
All right. And like I said, that full interview is available at talkwithjeff.com. Don't forget about the podcast, Olivia. We want people to subscribe to that.
It's free.
It is free. Free is good.
And
free
you can get like past shows on there, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Go to talkwithjeff.com or look up the Jeff Overt Show on your favorite podcast provider. I called Gettles High Desert Mechanical to come and fix the heater, the HVAC at our house. And it's an older one. It's probably the original one, right? And they didn't try to push for a new heater. A lot of people are doing that nowadays. It's just a kind of throwaway culture. Now, I'm going to have to get a new heater at some point. But they are able to repair it and keep it running. running. They said, no, it's fine. We just got to order this part. They did a really good job in a timely manner. And I highly recommend Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. Even if you want a new heater, new HVAC system, or if you're looking to get your existing unit service, give Gettle's High Desert Mechanical a call. Verde Valley, Sedona, or the Flagstaff area, you can call 928-567-2200, or in the Prescott and Tri-City area, 928-772-2751. That's Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. So that's it for you for like a week, huh?
Yeah, going to Yellowstone on a school trip.
Jellystone Park.
Yellowstone,
sorry. You've been there. How many times have you been there now, two?
Two other times, so this will be my third. Right.
Okay, good. It'll be a good class trip. So next week, like I said, we've got, because we're taking advantage of the time, with the kidless times, Olivia. So your mom and I, Angela and I, are going to have a little time to ourselves as well. We've got a lot of great interviews and a lot of good stuff for you next week. So I hope you'll tune in every day next week. And then when you come back, you'll give us the full rundown. Mm-hmm. So not next week, but the following week. All right. Everybody have a good weekend. Clouds out there. That's good.
Yeah, hopefully not. It's going to not be raining and freezing in Yellowstone, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's a volcanic area, you know. There's the Yellowstone volcano.
Oh, comforting.
I shouldn't even tell you that. Anyway, we'll be back, like I said, Monday. Got some great stuff lined up for you next week. Plus, if you want to get caught up on anything, hey, subscribe to that podcast. It's free, talkwithjeff.com. Hope you all have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you soon. Take care.